Today is Thursday, March 22nd, 2018. We're going to hear Rav Moshe Soloveitchik share on the Pesach Haggadah.
First of all, I want to thank the
There's
so many people that were involved in this very generous and kind and brought plasticware and all kinds of napkins and things that we needed for the class. And so we're set up for, you know, after Pesach. I want to thank all of you for doing that. It was very, very nice of all of you. I want to thank, first of all, Young Israel for being so generous and kind. I'd like to thank those who set up the tables. By the way, at the end of the meal, please take off everything off the tablecloths, leave the tablecloths on, and please take your phones, and I'm going to include me in this. Please silence them so we don't disturb this wonderful class.
Some people didn't get it.
Kevin Berger, thank you very much for all that you always do for us. Thank you. Appreciate it very much. I'd like to take this opportunity to let you know that there's no class next week.
And the following week.
And the following week, of course.
The Pesach.
And what I'd like to do is I'd like to take the time to wish everybody a kosher Freilich of Pesach and a wonderful Shabbos. And
Arab Shabbos.
Arab Shabbos. So, does everybody understand that we're not going to be meeting for the next 2 weeks?
Yes.
Okay.
Everyone explain it.
Would you like me to explain it? Thank you very much.
And Jerry.
Jerry. We're going to be davening Marim just a couple of minutes after the class. And did you want me to add anything else?
No, that's all.
All right. Oh, by the way, the class is dedicated. Thank you. The class is, thank you. The class is dedicated to my wonderful son-in-law and daughter for having a beautiful little girl on Shabbos. Her name is Tara Malka, and she's the sweetest, cutest thing you ever saw in your entire life.
Of
and
course.
Wouldn't you agree, Gutstein? Yeah, you'd agree.
Hey,
are
you cute like you?
No, she is a Gutstein.
Mazel tov.
Amen. She got lots of nachas. Thank you.
Okay, I was debating up till a minute ago, and I could change my mind even in a minute from now, but what I should talk about, whether to say new thoughts, old thoughts. I decided that I'm going to try to combine them, and just to, instead of having one central thought, as I usually do, to go over the Haggadah, suggesting different thoughts and different parts of the Haggadah. This way, something that you like, you can use, and something that you don't like, you can ignore it. And even in that case, the class won't be a total waste. Okay, so I'm going to use the Maxwell House Haggadah. Maybe seeing Maxwell House will keep me up. Anyway, so I won't put myself to sleep. All right, so the Halachmanya is on page 8. Now, it's a very strange thing. First we say, Halach manya the chalav the son of Arda Mitzrayim. This is the poor man's bread that our ancestors ate in the land of Egypt. Kol dichven yese v'yechal. Whoever is hungry, let him come and eat. Kol ditzrich yese v'yifsach. And whoever is in need, let him come in and share the Pesach with us. Hashata Hacha, right now we're here. V'shana haba bar di Yisrael. Next year, we should be in the land of Israel. Hashat Avdei, right now we are slaves. We're in bondage. We're in servitude. V'shana haba b'nei Chorin. Next year, we should be free. Now, the question is, what is the connection between all these thoughts? First of all, this is the poor man's bread. And we have to understand, it's true, the matzah is called the poor man's bread. I see that some of the stores have lowered the price. Anyway, so... this is the poor man's bread. In the old days, we used to say, because it makes you poor. Anyway, so halachmanya, chalav son of Adam and Triumph. This is the poor man's bread that our ancestors ate in the land of Egypt. Then we invite people in to share the thing, and then we say hashata hacha. Right now we are in bondage. L'shana haba b'arad Yisrael. We're in exile. We'll be in the land of Israel. We are in servitude. We should be free. What's the connection between all these statements? It's all said as one paragraph. There should be some connection. Now, the matzah, on one hand, is the symbol of chayrus. It's the symbol of freedom. The halach is, when you eat matzah, you're supposed to lean. Why are you supposed to lean? Because it's eichel chayrus. On the other hand, the matzah is the symbol, is lechemoni. It's a poor man's bread. For the matzah, you're not supposed to put anything in it. It has to be very plain. And the Ibn Ezra says, he suggests, I've mentioned this many times, Ibn Ezra was a very poor man. And he used to go from town to town. He would travel. He was a traveler. He wrote that he assured that if he went into the funeral business, people would stop dying. So, I mentioned just before that when I came to Chicago, the story that was told, you know, that was a couple of years after the Jews moved from the West Side. That on the West Side, one of the funeral directors was an Orthodox Jew. On Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, they wouldn't allow him to daven for the Yomit. Because we ask for parnasa, we ask to be able to make a living. So they wouldn't let him daven for the Yomit. Anyway, so that's more or less the same story with the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra said, whatever he would do, it would go out of business. So he says he was once taken in some country. He was captured, and they put him in servitude. And his masters, they sold him. They gave him to eat something like matzah. Why matzah? Because in those days, matzah was very cheap to make. It was flour and water. And people didn't have a tendency to eat too much matzah. I guess they didn't know about the Chazon Ish's shear for matzah. Okay. Anyway, so it was economical to serve your servants and your slaves matzah. So he suggested that the Jewish people not only ate matzah when they went out of Egypt. Matzah zu shanochum al shuma. Why do we eat this matzah? But when they were slaves in Egypt, they were fed matzah. That's what he suggests. It was both. It was the bread of servitude, and it was the bread of freedom. And sometimes the external circumstances of freedom and servitude might be very similar. It's the internal feeling that makes the difference. Now, but in any case, so the matzah at the beginning of the Haggadah, that's not to remind us of our freedom. That's to remind us of our servitude. This is the poor man's bread. The bread that we ate in the land of Egypt when we were slaves, when we were in servitude. Why? Then the question is, why did the Jewish people have to undergo bondage? Avraham Avinu was told, Kigeh yihaz arachab eretz lo lahem, your descendants will be like immigrants without roots in a land that doesn't belong to them. Ba'avadum ve'inu osam. And they'll be enslaved and they'll be tortured. And only later, the Acha Ken Yetzer B'Chush Gadol. Why was it so important that the Jewish people undergo slavery? Why was it important? So, I always say, because the Jewish people are the only people, the only nation, to survive exile. And why they survive exile? Because in their foundation as a nation, they dealt with that. But other nations, when they confront exile, they crumble as a nation. But there's another reason. And the other reason is empathy. You have to feel bad. You have to feel the pain of those who encounter bad circumstances. So, we have to remember not just the freedom of Egypt, but the servitude of Egypt. And why? For a number of reasons. First of all, we have to remember the servitude of Egypt because we can't appreciate the freedom. I think part of the reason, you know, I always mention it, I'll mention it again, and I'll mention it many, many more times. I, as a young boy, I saw the appreciation that the Jewish people, that the Jews had for the state of Israel. Why? Because as a young boy, I walked into shul. Those were survivors. They knew what it meant not to have a place the Jews could go to. But as time passes, for two reasons. First of all, because time passes. But then, the second reason is because we didn't have the experiences of those Jews. So we don't understand the importance of the freedom. But there's another reason why we have to know the servitude. And that is that in order to have empathy for those who don't have, those that find themselves in difficult circumstances, so we could identify with them. And it's interesting, you know, I'm not making an appeal here, so don't worry. There's a mitzvah, there's a special mitzvah, Moos Chitim, before Pesach. And the Vilna Gaon says, why? Because it doesn't just say tochlu matzos, you should eat matzos, it says matzos ye'ochel. You should make sure that matzos are eaten. It's not just matzos are eaten. You should make sure that people have sustenance. The mitzvah of matzah she'ochel, it reminds us the lechem oni. It reminds us of encountering difficult circumstances. So we should have empathy for those who also encounter these difficult circumstances. So halach mani the chalav asana bar the mitzrayim, we remember the servitude, the poor man's bread. So immediately we say, Kol dichven yesev yecho, kol ditzrich yesev yiftach. But at the same time, we don't just have to remember our exile, the slavery. On a certain level, we have to remember we could have empathy because we today are also, we have no roots. We're not in our own land. You know, sometimes we get used to it. Time heals all wounds. But sometimes it's a hallucination. We hallucinate that we don't have those wounds. So, and in a sense, the whole story of Pesach, as I go forward, I'll try to point it out, is repeated and repeated throughout Jewish history. Bondage, slavery, exile. And on the other hand, redemption, freedom, and being in your own land is repeated throughout Jewish history. So, in matter of fact, right now, we find ourselves in that situation. So kol dichven yeseh, so hashat ha'cha, here we're here, l'shon haba b'ard Yisrael, the land of the Jewish people, hashat ha'avdei, l'shon haba b'nei chorin, where we will be free. So, and in a sense, we're saying we can identify with those who find themselves in bad circumstances. Because on Pesach night, we think not just, we come to recognize that our circumstances are not great. Okay, then you have the Manishtana. In the Manishtana, now it's very interesting. Rashi Psachim says that, and the Rashbam, it's based on the Drushim, that the four cups that we eat, we drink Pesach night, correspond with the four expressions of freedom that are mentioned in the Torah. V'hotzeisi, I shall take you out. V'hitzalti, I shall save you. V'lakachti, and I'll take you as a nation. And Begalti, and I shall redeem you. That's the third one, Galti. Begalti, and I shall redeem you. So the four cups of wine that we drink correspond with the four expressions. But the Vilna Gaon says something else. He says not only does the four cups of wine correspond with the four expressions of freedom, but the four questions correspond with the four expressions of freedom, and the four sons correspond with the four expressions of freedom. And the question is, okay, we understand the four cups of wine, because wine, that represents freedom. It represents acting like a king, whatever. But where? How do the four questions represent freedom? And then the four sons, how does that represent freedom? And I think the four questions represent freedom in the sense that the very fact, now, and give me a minute because of the four questions, being able to ask a question is a free atmosphere. Now, but there is a difference. There's a difference between the questions that people sometimes ask and the questions that we ask. In other words, we want to understand. Sometimes when people ask questions, it's not to understand. So there's a certain limitation. But asking questions represents a freedom. And the four types of sons, the whole idea of the relationship between parent and child, I've mentioned many times. Why is it that so significant for Pesach? The answer is, the halacha is that the children of a slave is not considered his children. Now that sounds very bad, but that's reflective of what went on in society. These children of slaves belonged to the master, and they were sold away from the master, and the master or the parents were sold away from the children. So they didn't have that bond. Pesach at night, we try to create bonds between parents and children, because that's cheres, that's freedom. A free person, his children are his children. There's a bond, there's a connection. And even the Ben Russia, the rebellious son, has to be seen as a son. You might have to tell him off. But yet you can't deny that he's a son. And that's part of freedom. Part of freedom is your children are your children. So that's part of freedom. And now, after the four sons, the Torah tells us, Yachomei Rosh Chodesh. I would think that the mitzvah of talking about the events began on Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, last Shabbos. Talmud Lomar Bayomahu. But the Torah says, on this day. Question is, but on the basis of logic, I would have said that it began on Rosh Chodesh. The mitzvah should begin on Rosh Chodesh. The question is, why would have I said that it should have begun on Rosh Chodesh? So in the past, I mentioned my father's answer. My father said, because there is both a spiritual redemption and a physical redemption, and the spiritual redemption is more important, and the spiritual redemption is the giving of the mitzvahs of the Torah, and the mitzvah HaKodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodesh, and that was the first mitzvah in the Torah. Okay, that was the answer my father gave. In the past, I suggested another answer. I suggested that the reason is because because the mitzvah Pesach night is not just to tell your child about the Exodus. The mitzvah Pesach night is to say why this night is different from all other nights. Ma nishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylos. What made this night different from all the other nights of the year? And how do I know that this night is different? I know this night is different because we eat matzah. I know this night is different because we eat maror. I know this night is different because we dip twice. I know this night is different because we sit behaseba, we lean. But so we have to know. But the first time we can be sure which night would be Pesach, we can talk about what made this night different. You have to know which night is this night. And Rosh Chodesh, when they declared it on the basis of the new moon, the last time that you could find out when Rosh Chodesh will be, when the Pesach night would be on Rosh Chodesh. So because of that, that's the first time that I could talk about uniqueness or not. I want to suggest something altogether different. The When the Torah talks about the Igadat Levincha, the Torah refers to Pesach, to Nisan, as Chodesh Aviv, the springtime. So, and it also talks about doing the service of Pesach in this month. So it refers to it as the springtime, the spring month, Chodesh Aviv, the spring month. So Rashi asks, why does the Torah refer to Nisan, the month of Pesach, as the spring month? To emphasize that when God took the Jewish people out of Egypt, he took them out when the weather was good, to make it easier for them. Obviously, it's better to go when it's not too hot, and not too cold, not too rainy, whatever it is. So the initial part of the trip was when the weather was good. However, it's interesting, the Brisker Rav, in explaining a pasuk in Tehillim, says something altogether different. The pasuk, Shir HaShirim, Perek Beis of Shir HaShirim, the second chapter of Shir HaShirim. Is Shir HaShirim an English song of songs?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so... So, in the second chapter of Shir HaShirim, that's page 1264. And according to many, Shir HaShirim is talking about the Exodus. So, in his swiftness to redeem me, my beloved, that's God, is like a gazelle or a young hart. I thought I would forever alone. Oh, excuse me. When he redeemed me from Egypt, my beloved called out and said to me, "Arise, my love, my fair one, go forth. For the winter of bondage has passed. The deluge of suffering is over and is gone. The righteous blossoms are seen in the land." You know, it's spring. The time of your song has arrived. The fig tree has formed its first small figs. The vines are in blossom. Arise, my love, my fair one, and go forth. In other words, God says, it's springtime, everything is good. Everything is blossoming. Now is the time to go out. So the Brisker Rav says, it's not that we celebrate Pesach in springtime, because the Jews went out of Egypt in springtime. We celebrate Pesach in springtime because the Jews went out of Egypt in springtime in order that the Jews should celebrate Pesach in springtime. It was the later event that was the cause of the earlier event. God says, now is the time for you to go out. That's how the Brisker Rav learns it. And really it's based on something the Beis Halevi says. The Beis Halevi says, "V'higadata l'bincha b'yom hu lemor, you shall tell your children to, ba'avur zeh, because of this, I went out of Egypt." Ba'avur zeh, because of what? Matzah and Morer, Pesach Matzah and Morer. But you tell your children years later, you're pointing to the matzah morah. It's not the matzah morah of then that brought the redemption of the Jewish people. It's the matzah morah of now that brought the redemption. It's the later event that caused the earlier event. So it's the same type of idea, that later event causes the earlier event. Why was it so important that Pesach should be celebrated in the springtime, that the Jewish people had to go out in springtime? And I think the answer is very simple. Because spring represents the nature renewing itself. Nature renewing itself. So the Jewish people have to constantly renew themselves. Pesach represents the formation of the Jewish nation. Who is the symbol? They all ask a question. They all give the same answer. I'm going to give a different answer. Not that their answer is wrong. This is just an additional answer. Who is the figure behind Pesach? Everybody asks the question. No mention, only one mention, and that's only, by the way, of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Haggadah. Only one mention of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Haggadah. Why? So everybody says, Aniva lo malach, aniva lo hashliach. We have to emphasize that God was the one who redeemed us and not Moshe Rabbeinu. It's true, but I think there's another reason. There's no question Moshe was the greatest person. He lived the Torah. He was the one that God spoke to. There's no question about that. But if I was to point to the historical figure of Pesach, certainly in terms of the Haggadah, I think it's Avraham Avinu. What do we say in Pesach? What do we say in the Haggadah? Just read the Haggadah that God told Avraham that first, Mechilov de Avodah Zarah Hayah B'Seinu. Our ancestors worshipped idolatry. V'achshav kevanu amachim l'avodaso, and God brought us to his service. And how God took Avram and it brought him to the land of Canaan. And God made a prompt, told Avram, you should know that your descendants are going to be slaves. And you should know they're going to be redeemed. And the truth is, this repeats itself over and over and over. In other words, what we're saying, the Haggadah, the basic idea of the Haggadah is, God's promise to Avram was kept. His commitment to Avram was kept. Avram was, it's interesting, the Baal HaTanya, the Zohar, sorry. The Zohar says that the three regalim correspond with the three Yavos. Pesach with Avram, Shavuos with Yitzchak, Sukkos with Yaakov. Why Avram Pesach? What is Pesach? Goy mikerv goy, the formation of the Jewish people. And who was Avram? Avram is Avram Ivri, from the other side. The one who separated himself. By the way, separation doesn't mean lack of concern. You see, Avram separates himself from Lot, and he runs to help Lot when Lot is in trouble. But separation means having your own identity. And sometimes having your own identity could make you more sensitive to the problems of others. So Pesach is the historical figure of Pesach, I think, is Avraham Avinu.
Wasn't Avraham the first to keep Pesach?
Yeah, that's right. Avram, the three matzahs. Avram kept Pesach. Avram, the Malachim visited Avram on Pesach. I mean, those that say he kept the whole Torah, but that's emphasized. Pesach, Avram, so the central figure of Pesach, I think, is Avram, the historical figure. Is Avram Avinu. Now, and Avram is the initiator, and the Jewish people start the nation. They separate themselves from Egypt. On one hand, they were slaves, on the other hand, they were part of Egyptian culture. And they started their own nation. It represents the beginning. HaChodesh Hazel Lachem Rosh Chadashim. Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chad She'ashana. This is the first month. But this month, this has to repeat itself. Nature renews itself. So it's the reason the Jewish people went out in Nisan. The reason Pesach is in Nisan, it's not that Pesach is in spring because the Jews went out in spring. It's just the reverse. To emphasize, the Jews were not a nation that were to march forward in time, but to constantly renew themselves. And the Balatanya, it's interesting, the Balatanya says that Pesach represents the birth of the Jew. Shavuos represents the bar mitzvah of the Jew, acceptance of the Torah. And Sukkot represents the elderly years of the Jew, the Chag Osef. So it represents, and why is it that Pesach we reach Shir HaShirim? Medrash says, Medrash doesn't ask the question, why do we read Shir HaShirim? Because I don't know from the time of the Medrash they read Shir HaShirim, although in the Masechta Sofrim it's brought down. The reason is because I think the Medrash says that Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, he wrote Shir HaShirim when he was young. He wrote Mishlei in his middle age, and he wrote Kehelis in his elderly years. That's why we read Kehelis on Sukkot. Shir HaShirim, we read. Why? Because Pesach represents renewal, youthfulness. Now, the child is the center of the Seder. So part of the reason the child is the center of the Seder is because we want to teach our children. We want to make connections. I said, we want to make a bond with the future generations. And that's the reason. Take a look. Strange, one of the strangest things. Echad mi yodeya, shnayim mi yodeya. What kind of song is that? Unless you're trying to see how drunk you are after the four cups of wine. What echad mi yodeya? In other words, one of the things, the methods, how you teach ABC. A is for apple, B, I could banana, what is it? I don't know. C, whatever it is, you teach. We use the reverse. We use the numbers to teach concepts. They use objects to teach letters. We use the numbers. That's something you do with children. Simonim. These are ways of remembering things, teaching things. And so we want to give over. We have to be influenced in how we teach children. When you teach children, you have to go down to their level. So, one is God. Two is the Luchos. Three is the Avos, the patriarchs. Four is the Imos. This is how you teach children. But it's more than just that. It's not just that we're teaching children. That we're teaching children in order to give over to them. We're teaching children that they should have an influence on us. When you're involved with children, you feel younger. And Pesach is the time we have to feel younger. So this is why it has to be B'chodesh Ha'aviv in the springtime. And the reasons the Jews went out of Egypt at that time, because that was spring. And they went out of Egypt in order that Pesach should always be in the spring. If that's the case, then maybe we should start talking about the significance of the renewal of the Jewish people, the beginning of the Jewish people, from the moment spring begins. Talmud Lomar by Yomahu. So the Torah says no. But on the basis of what the Torah says, when the Torah talks about the Igadata, it talks about Chodesh Ha'aviv, it talks about the spring month. Okay, so that's then Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. Originally our ancestors were idol worshippers. Va'achshav Kirvana Hamakom La'Avodah. And now God brought us close to his service. Two words bother me here in this first sentence. First of all, mitchila, from the beginning. It should say bitchila, in the beginning. In the beginning, our ancestors worshipped idols. Terach, the father of Avram, and Avram himself. They worshipped idols in the beginning. What do you mean from the beginning? What does it mean from the beginning? Our ancestors worshipped idols. And what's this idea? V'achshav kevanu hamakom lavod also. And now, God brought us closer to his service. How are we to understand it? Mitchila, from the beginning. From the beginning, we worshipped idols. And now, God brought us closer to service. It should be then. At the time of Matan Torah, at the time of Avram, what do you mean? V'achshav, now. But the answer is, as I mentioned at the very beginning, at the whole process of bondage, spiritual bondage, physical bondage, redemption, spiritual redemption, physical redemption. It wasn't a one-time event. It repeats itself over and over, a galgal achozer. It goes over and over again. So mitchila, you think the last one to worship, who was the last one to worship idolatry? We have idolatry. Idolatry doesn't have to manifest itself just in bowing down to an idol. There are all kinds of forms of idolatry. But it repeats itself. It's mitchila. There was constantly Jews who worshipped Avodah Zarah. V'achshav kevanu hamakom lavod also. And now God brought us close. This is also part of the idea. The later events might have been the cause of the earlier events. We learn from the early events how to deal with our situation here. God made the early events in order to serve as a lesson how to deal with now. And I think perhaps this is a reaction to the Ben Russia, the wicked son. By the way, my father had a very interesting explanation about the four sons. My father says it's not four different sons. My father says it was four stages in growth. First you have a Sheni Yodei Lishol, then you have a Tam, a simple son, then you have the rebellious years, and then you have the mature years. So it represents four stages. Most people have all four stages, some, whatever. But in any case, the idea is sometimes, I see it all the time, and now more and more, we see people deviating from tradition. People not just deviating from tradition, really with anger deviating from tradition. There's a lot of anger out there. And sometimes parents feel hopeless. But mitchilov de avodah zarah yavaseinu. What happened then? It happened with Avram Avinu. It happened with the Jewish people in Egypt. And it could happen with us now. And it will happen with us now. We shouldn't lose faith. We shouldn't feel that it's a hopeless cause. Va'achshav kervanu hamakom la'avodaso. It's now God brings us close to his service. Of course, there was a now then also. But there's a now also. And it's very likely, using the Beis Halevi's word, what happened then is because of what's going to happen now. The Avos, Maisa Avos, Simon Labonim. What happened to the ancestors is a sign for the children. That doesn't mean that it's imitated with us. What it means is we look for the Avos. God made the lives of the patriarchs, made the lives of our ancestors in such a way that it should serve as a guide for future generations. It's because of future generations that they encountered what they encountered.
Why do we paskin like Shmuel when we begin with that one?
It's not Pashut. It's not Pashut. From the Rambam and the Yadah Chazaka, there seems to be a steer in the Rambam and the Yadah Chazaka. From the Rambam and the Yadah Chazaka, it seems that we really should start mitchilol devil dezara hayavaseinu. Like rabbits, the names are sometimes mixed up depending on the girsa. But in his nusach hagada, he has avadim hayino. But so the question is, why the switch? Some say that, because the Rambam says, this is the Nusach Haggadah, this is the text of the Haggadah in the time of exile. So some want to suggest that according to the Rambam, that in the time of exile, so we emphasize first, they find themselves in bondage. So we emphasize the Avadim Hayinu first, because now we find ourselves in bondage. But in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, when there was a greater spiritual focus, so with the Chilal Devil, the Zorah, you have a saying, the Bach Shav Kerfala Mokhan. That's how some explain it. I think I once saw that some say also it depends. If the child asks the question himself, so then you could start mitchilov the avodah zarah hayavsim, depending on the nature of the question of the child. However, if it's manishtana halayla zeh, once they established one nusach, so it seems that the avodim hayinu, what made this night different from all other nights? In other words, since the question is what made this night different, that was the actual exodus from Egypt. Why we do the avodah? That's mitchilov the avodah zarah you have the same. Okay, but what time is it now?
28:30.
Okay. This is the mitchila of the avodah zarah hayu avosein. Now, and we say it's interesting that before we start the four sons, we say baruch hamakom, baruchu, baruch shenasan parlam Yisrael, baruchu. Blessed is the place. We refer to God as the place. Baruchu, blessed is Him. Baruch Shenasan Tar L'Am Yisrael, blessed is the one who gave Torah to the Jewish people. Baruch Hu, blessed is Him. What's the idea behind it? I think is the two ways to understand it, and I'll finish with that. Baruch Hamakom, we say Hu Mekomo Sholom Ve'Ein Olam Mekomo. After the eagle, after the golden calf, so God said to Moshe. He said that there's a place for you. I made a place for you to daven to me. The concept of makom, and Rashi says that there is a place for you to daven to me. The concept of makom represents being able to make a connection, to God. So even in times when things are not good, even the Klal Yisrael sinned, but God still allows, and it looked like they were going to be destroyed. So God said that I have a place for you to make a connection with me. That's Makom. So again, when we deal with the Ben Russia, the son of the, when we deal with the Russia, with the wicked son, the rebellious son is better. The rebellious son, sometimes we feel, hey, it's a lost cause. You should know it's never a lost cause. There's always a makom. God makes a place to make a connection. Even after the golden calf was made, there was a place to plead to God. And that's part of the baruch makom. The other way we could explain it is Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shnas Antam Yisrael, Baruch Hu. In other words, there are certain children that we can take out the Chumash, we can take out the Gemara, and we could learn Maseches Pesachim, we could tell them from the Bible, we could tell them the story and discuss it in the way the Gemara discusses it, and the way the Medrash discusses it. And there are certain children, either because they're handicapped, or because of lack of background, or because they're young, you can't open up a Gemara, a Talmud. You can't open up even a Chumash. You still have to tell him. That's he got it. The Shana Yodea Lishol. So what do you tell them? You tell them about the events. Mekomo Sholom, that God is the place of the world. So even if you can't, if you can't teach him it in the Torah, tell it to him in the events that took place in history. Shchor Yemo Sholom, Shninu Bnos Dor V'Dor. Remember the events of the world. According to some Shittos, there's a mitzvah to study history, not the history of the history books, but the lessons of history, especially the lessons of our history. So not everybody initially can be taught about the Exodus from the Torah itself. But we could tell them about the events that took place in the world. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. And we do that, they could come to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But of course, we look forward to children being able, Baruch Shenasan Torah Lamo Yisrael, we look forward to be able to teach it to them through the Torah. But even when you teach them the Torah, you have to bring out. It's one thing to learn the Torah intellectually. It's another thing to establish a relationship with God. That's Baruch Hu. The idea is that the whole idea of studying about Yetzias Mitzrayim is to establish a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the Baruch Hu. Okay, we'll leave it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the tables were full of chometz. If you brought a Haggadah from home, please make sure that you clean out the Haggadah before taking it back.
We're going to be down in Paris in about